Barry Weiss lays out a new vision for CBS News. Let's see what Israel wants us to do today. After a rocky start, Barry Weiss plans cuts, adds commentators at CBS News. Oh, I saw this! Barry Weiss's new motley of commentators. Oh, I saw this, I saw this, I saw this. Weiss announced the hiring of 18 paid commentators on subjects ranging from national security to health and wellness, so like RFK Jr. types, as part of an effort to widen the aperture of the stories we tell and the voices we listen to. They include H.R. McMaster, who served as national security advisor during the first Trump admin, Rehan Salam, the president of the conservative Manhattan Institute, and the historian Niall Ferguson. She also cited several new hires who are going to produce original reports from Kyiv, London, New York City, with a social media first approach. Dude, CBS is done. Oh my God. Weiss is expected to make significant cuts to the newsroom. Oh my God, they're literally turning it into a podcast content network. Holy shit. It took no time at all for the Ellisons to burn CBS to the ground. Jesus Christ. It's the FaZe Clan house now. Holy shit. It's becoming Rumble. In her brief tenure, Weiss has alienated much of the staff of 60 Minutes. She's hated by, like, everyone. CBS Evening News has lost over 1 million viewers since Barry Weiss takeover. Yeah, that makes sense, considering the drooling imbecile they put in charge of the program. She's so, like, social media brained. She has no idea how to, like... Again, it's a symptom of Ellison's incompetence. And Barry Weiss is genuinely very stupid. I hope you all understand this. Barry Weiss is very low IQ. She's like Elon in a lot of ways. Of her many, many co-workers who have hated her, no one who's worked with her likes her. The people at the New York Times in particular, the one thing they kept saying over and over is she can't read. She can't read. Like, literally, she does not read. She won't read emails. She doesn't read broadly. She doesn't know anything about anything. She just wrote op-eds. She can't read. She just does not read. She is very stupid. Is Barry Weiss illiterate? I'm not joking. You can read what her contemporaries at the New York Times said about her, okay? Or the people who work at CBS now. Like, yeah, it's not good. The show lost nearly a quarter of its viewership in the first 5 days of DeCoppel taking over the program. Holy shit! In 5 days? No wonder she wants to turn it into a podcast network. Oh my God. Jesus Christ. Guess we aren't the only ones who don't like Tony Two Cuts. Oh yeah, Tony DeCoppo, also a devoted servant of Israel, converted to Judaism and got a second circumcision. Just to remind you guys how weird and cult-like these people are. Everyone involved here, they're slaves of Israel, or at the very least, like, that is their mission. Like, it recurs over and over in their behavior. Tony Two Cuts DeCoppo. How'd he do that? Do you think he has no foreskin now, even when he's soft? Like even when he's 100% soft, it just looks like a little mushroom stalk. And as he becomes hard, it just gets like stiff and veiny, but it can't stretch. So it's like he's always wearing a cage. Ew, stop it. Yeah, it's really gross. Why the f*** did you make me think of this? Dude, he's the one who wrote an article bragging about getting a second circumcision, okay? They f*** up the first one? No. The first one he got just as an American, because a lot of American kids get circumcised, whether or not they're Jewish. The second one was part of his conversion. Anyway, I want to look at the list of people who are being brought onto the new CBS News. Barry Weiss. Barry Weiss to CBS News staff. Without a shift in strategy, we are toast. Listen, the people don't want the evening news, okay? What the people want is more sit-down town halls with Erica Kirk, the very first thing that I did after taking control of the network. Literally the first thing I did after taking control of the network was put out 71 little short form video snippets, the only kind of content I can consume, of me talking to Erica Kirk, the only consequence of which was everyone realizing Erica Kirk is an actual real life demon. All those bits about Erica Kirk with the weird pausing and glaring into the camera and stuff, all that was from these town halls. Not all of it, but a lot of it, you know. So good at her job. Give me the full list of people she's hiring to join the podcast house. I don't want a short list. I want a full list. All right, let's take a look at the people she's bringing on. I just want to see how many of them are being brought on only because they're devotees of Israel. That's just like, that's the reason, you know. Niall Ferguson, a conservative historian. All right, let's take a look at a full list. We got it here. Let's see. British American historian, Milbank Family Senior Fellow at the Hoover Institute, Senior Fellow at Harvard University, Professor at Harvard, visiting lecturer, da da da. He holds positive views concerning the British Empire. He was knighted by King Charles III in 2024. A bi-weekly columnist at the Free Press. Supporter of Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher. Brilliant, brilliant. Every time. Well, we're just on person one. Now I'm looking to see how much of a devotee to Israel he is. You know, we gotta rank them on a scale. Where I'm not ranking them. What the f*** is this? Ferguson has endorsed the work of Bat Gior and her Eurabia conspiracy theory, providing a cover comment for her in 2005 Eurabia book, in which he stated, "No writer is more than Bat Gior to draw attention to the menacing character of Islamic extremism, creeping Islamicization of a decadent Christendom." He deplored the November 2015 Paris attacks committed by Islamic State terrorists, but said he was not going to stand with the French, as he argued France was a lost cause, a declining state faced with an unstoppable Islamic wave that would sweep away everything that tried to oppose it. Jesus Christ. By the way, the reason these people, so many of these guys have always been Israel cucks from day one. That's the reason why you heard the term Judeo-Christianity so often. Nobody used Judeo-Christianity up until like the 1960s in an effort to demark this distinction to the Islamic world and to like Soviet atheism, you know? The obsession with like uniting these terms, it's all deeply in line with the Zionist agenda. So he's a big like Syrian refugee crisis guy. Supported the Iraq war. Brilliant, brilliant. Predicted the EU was destined to become moribund. It was a risk of collapse in the near future. Is he a COVID-19? Is he like a conspiracy theorist? Let me see. Around a month after the Russian invasion of Ukraine, Ferguson wrote, "I conclude the U.S. intends to keep this war going. Lack of any diplomatic effort by the U.S. to secure a ceasefire." Dude, he's doing like Kremlin talking points. In the wake of the attack on Israel, Ferguson said, "I think it's clear Israel can no longer coexist with Hamas in control of Gaza. If anyone doubted that, then surely those doubts were dispelled on October the 7th with the most hideous scenes of violence against Jews since the Holocaust." He added that the issue is, can Hamas be destroyed as it should be at an acceptable cost? Ferguson has also sharply criticized accusations of genocide in Gaza, describing such claims as utterly divorced from strategic reality. He rejects plans to recognize a Palestinian state, insisting that nothing remotely resembling a Palestinian state exists today, nor is one likely to exist at any point in the foreseeable future. Palestinian Authority widely despised. Yeah, pretty much what you expect. Every single time? Yeah, every single time. Well, that's one. Hopefully they don't all have such big Wikipedia articles. Patrick McGee. No Wikipedia article for this fella? Yeah, there's a Wikipedia article for his book, but not for him. Does he work for the Free Press? Yes, contributor to Weiss's Free Press. Andrew Huberman. I know this is boring. I don't know. I think that to an extent, I'm trying to reassure myself that Larry Ellison and Barry Weiss are too incompetent to really destroy these institutions because everything they do is so transparent and straightforward, you know? Let's see. I look up Andrew Huberman and immediately I see the Joe Rogan podcast background. Very good. Very, very good. All right, what do we got? What do we got from this one? What do we got from this one? Andrew podcasts, COVID-19 pandemic, appeared on Joe Rogan and Rich Roll. Social media, Lex Friedman, another hub. According to an article in Coda, Huberman has promoted anti-sunscreen views on his podcast, saying, "I am as scared of sunscreen as I am of melanoma," claiming that molecules in some types of sunscreen can be found in neurons 10 years later after application without any evidence. He's also expressed skepticism towards fluoridization. He's talked about the flu vaccine vaccination reducing the risk of contracting flu, but states he personally avoids getting flu vaccines since he feels he doesn't interact with enough people daily that warrants it. Okay. All right. Interesting. His promotion of unregulated health supplements has been particularly controversial. Peter Attia. Why do people love Israel? It's a somewhat small nation in the Middle East. It's not about loving Israel. It's that Israel is an externalized economic, military, and political power block of the United States, and proclaiming fealty to Israel is a way of signaling that you're in the in-group of a broader Zionist coalition. That it represents the interests of the Western economic elite. It really has nothing to do with Israel as a state or Judaism. In fact, in Israel, the rabid, genuine Jewish nationalists, like your Ben-Gavir types, are largely inconvenient because their fanaticism gets in the way of using Israel as like an externalized project. October 7th was largely inconvenient for a lot of the powers that be because Israel's behavior afterwards and its optics were so odious that it's made it more difficult to use Israel as that like external validator of allegiance. Hey, Vosh, Trump's about to speak live any minute in Des Moines, Iowa at a rally. Fascinating. Well, you know, I'm speaking live right now from Seattle, Washington, as long as we're just sharing facts. Peter Attia. Well, that's reassuring. You know, a guy's going to be good when this is how he looks in his Wikipedia picture. Jesus Christ. Author of Outlive, The Science and Art of Longevity. Yeah, seems fine. Seems like the kind of guy who would spend a lot of time on Joe Rogan. Not like super, super bad. I do think it's interesting, though, that like it seems like Barry Weiss's plan is to turn CBS into like a, I don't know, like a Joe Rogan adjacent. Almost, it's like she's trying to revive the intellectual dark web. You know what I mean? Like, oh, she tried to do this at the Free Press as well. Like, oh, CBS News isn't your grandpa's mainstream news company. This is where all the true intellectual elites, the people shunned by the mainstream, come to share their dark nuggets of wisdom. Why is Vosh such an asshole to chatters giving real news updates, lol? Because that wasn't just a news update. Telling me that a Trump rally is about to begin insistently is actually saying, hurry up with this and get to that. You know, the live Trump performance, in addition to being, it will be very boring, by the way. But additionally, like, you can just rewind to the beginning, you know? Like, watching it live isn't necessary to get the news info. It's an implied demand. I see right through you. You're nothing to me. Just keep that in mind. You. Chef Claire de Boer. Oh my God, this is just an Instagram lady. Is this one of the like Tradwife Instagram? Oh my God. It's one of the Tradwife Instagram cooks, isn't it? Isn't it one of the, I swear I've seen her before. This food does look delicious. Yeah. I swear I've seen this before. That's so funny. I don't know if she's bad or not. I have no idea. Genuinely, I don't. It's so funny that she's going to work for CBS. I guarantee you she's going to do articles on, like, the value of the traditional home life or whatever. I like the roll neck. This is called a roll neck, guys. It's like half of a turtleneck, but the top, the hem on the neckline does a little roll down, and it's usually really roomy. A roll neck is really good if you're sensitive to having your neck, like you feel strangled by a turtleneck. A roll neck is good for that. Fashion stream win. Every stream is a fashion stream. Anyway, yeah. Wait, hold on. Claire de Boer has a Substack. Is it just cooking? It looks like it's just cooking. I guess this one is relatively innocuous. Physician Mark Hyman. I feel like I recognize this guy. He promotes the Pegan diet? One of the most prominent proponents of functional medicine, a controversial form of alternative medicine, no clinical evidence for its effectiveness. Medical advisor to Bill or Hillary Clinton? Okay. Co-founded Function Health, a membership-based diagnostic health platform company that offers direct consumer lab tests. That sounds like a scam. Is it real? Including ones for organ health, hormone, nutrient, metabolic, and cancer signal tests. Okay, this, I feel like this is designed to appeal to the mentally ill. Like, yeah, every month I spend $800 and get a bunch of, like, at-home lab tests to see if I have cancer or kidney disease. What are you talking about? The Pegan diet is a combination of paleo and vegan diet, so it's exclusively for lunatics. Paleo and vegan. So what, literally all you eat is like foraged foods? Like nuts and berries and shit? Like literally that's it? No, yes, basically? Okay. The Pegan diet opposes refined sugar and foods that can spike insulin production. This seems like a relatively innocuous kind of quackery, considering what we're looking for here. I mean, like any paleo diet would include meat, wouldn't it? Caroline Chambers. Who is this person? Another cook. Another cook? Okay, I need to move through these faster. Another cook. Casey Lewis, who is a Substacker. An examination of youth culture. Man, what's with all these people who just have Substacks? It's not even like a super big Substack. It's like a link hub? I don't know how Substack works. What Gen Z wore for the first day of school. I don't want to be mean to these guys, like, for no reason, because I have no idea if they're bad or not. I guess it's more like, it really gives you an idea of what Barry Weiss is trying to focus on. Maybe in a way this, so I expected these people to be a lot more partisan from the get-go. It's possible they will become more partisan as they're brought on board as like a precondition of their paycheck. You know, once they're on that CBS Larry Ellison money, they'll, you know, you better write about Israel more often. But I think, I feel like it, I actually have less of an idea. The reason Joe Rogan has been able to seize the nerves in so many people's brains is because most of his content isn't about politics. Most of Joe Rogan's stuff is like easy lifestyle, like scattershot, talk about this, talk about that, you know, human interest stuff. And every once in a while you get into politics, and that's where the nerves are pulled really hard. But on the way, you try to like erode people's sensibilities, their faculties of reason, by getting them used to stuff like conspiracy and sensation. This feels like a more feminized version of that kind of content, you know? Like, Barry Weiss is evil. She would not bring cooking Substackers on board CBS unless she was using them as part of some evil plan. Though this does seem a little bit more indirect than I was expecting, which also kind of makes me worry a little bit. Elliot Ackerman. Worry? Well, if they learn how to be subtle, they're harder to deal with. What has he written in The Atlantic? Nothing on October 7th. Interesting. It looks like it really is a spreadsheet. Some of these people are normal too. No, that's what I mean. Like, it seems like it's not an ensemble of deep state ghouls, you know? It seems like they're trying to reel people in with honey a little bit, you know? You get me. Anyway, I know this isn't particularly good as a segment. She's Iranian opposition? I just want to see what kind. In 2019, Ahlinejad sued the Iranian government in a U.S. federal court for harassment against her and her family. Good luck collecting on that. Well, there's nothing wrong with opposing the Iranian regime. Arthur Brook, free press columnist. Roland Fire Jr., professor of economics at Harvard. Free press columnist Coleman Hughes. Former National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster, Manhattan Institute President Rian Salam, fashion journalist Lauren Sherman, journalist and author Derek Thompson. Well, I'm bored of this bit now. Well, I think your point about subtle propaganda is salient. Had I done research beforehand, I feel like I could have done something interesting with this, you know? But it is a little bit tiring to go through all of it one by one by one. You get me, though, right? Derek Thompson, Abundance. Oh, holy shit, you're right. That Derek Thompson, co-author of Abundance. Really, man. Working for Barry Weiss. That's grim. A list of everything Ellison owns now? Yeah, I saw this. Larry Ellison owns CBS, MTV, The Free Press, BET, CMT, Simon & Schuster, Nickelodeon, Paramount+, Pluto TV, and yeah, quite a bit more. Yep, yep, yep. Not to mention, like, TikTok, you know, because TikTok is now owned in large part by Oracle.